versen 1 tot 21. En als de dag van de Pinksterfest vervuld werd, waren zij alle indrachtelijk bijeen. En er geschiedde gastelijk uit den hemel een geluid gelijk als van een geweldige gedreven wind en vervulde het gehele huis waar zij zaten. En van hen werden gezien verdeelde tongen als van voor. En het zat op het gelijk van hen. En zij werden alle vervuld met de Heilige Geest en begonnen te spreken met andere talen, zoals de Geest hun gaf uit te spreken. En er waren Joden te Jeruzalem wonende godvruchtige mannen van alle volken, dergenen die onder den hemel zijn. En als deze stem gezien was, kwam de menigte samen en werd beroerd, want in Igelijk hoorde hen in zijn taal spreken. En zij ontzetten zich alle en verwonderen zich, zeggende tot elkaar: ziet, zijn niet alle deze die daar spreken Galileërs? En hoe horen wij hen in Igelijk in onze eigen taal, in welke wij geboren zijn? Parthers en Meders en Elamieten en die inwoners zijn van Mesopotamia en Judea en Cappadocia, Pontus en Asia, en Phrygia en Pamphylia, Egypte en de delen van Libië, het welk bij Cyrene ligt, en uitlandse Romeinen, bij de Joden en Jodengenoten, Cretense en Arabieren. Wij horen hen in onze talen de grote werken God spreken. En zij ontzetten zich alle en werden twijfelmoedig, zeggende de een tegen den ander: wat wil toch dit zijn? En andere spottende zeiden: zij zijn vol zoete wijn. Maar Petrus, staande met de elfen, verhief zijn stem en sprak tot hen: gij Joodse mannen en gij alle die te Jeruzalem woont, dit zij u bekend. En laat mijn woorden tot uw oren ingaan. Want deze niet dronken, gelijk gij vermoed, want het is eerst de derde uur van de dag. Maar dit is het, wat gesproken is door de profeet Joël. En het zal in de laatste dagen, zegt God, ik zal uitstorten van mijn geest op alle vlees. En uw zonen en uw dochters zullen profeteren. En uw jongelingen zullen gezichten zien. En uw ouders zullen dromen. En ook mijn dienstknechten en ook mijn dienstmaagden zal ik in de dagen van mijn geest uitstorten. En zij zullen profeteren. En ik zal wonderen geven in de hemel boven en tekenen op de aarde beneden: bloed en vuur en rookdamp. De zon verandert worden in duisternis en de maan in bloed. Er dat de grote en doorluchtige dag des Heren komt. En het zal dat in Igelijk die de naam des Heren aanroepen zalig zal worden. There you go.
Am Pfingsten Sonntag, Psalm 104, 24 bis zu 34, 35b. O Herr, welch unmessliche Vielfalt zeigen deine Werke. Sieh alle sind zugleich deine Wissenheit. Die ganze Erde ist voll von deinen Geschöpfen. Da ist das Meer, so ähnlich groß und weit, und zahlbar sind die Tiere drin, große wie kleine. Schiffe sehen dort drüber und auch die Seehauger, die du das Schaffen hast, um mit ihm zu spielen. Alle deine großen Schöpfe warten dich auf, dass du ihre zu reichen Zeit zum Essen gibst. Sie holen sich die Nieren und du zuteilest, du öffnest dein Hand und sie werden reichlich satt. Wenn du dich von ihnen abwendigst, müssen sie zu Tod erschrecken. Ja, sie sterben und werden zu Staub, wenn du ihnen dein Leben satt nimmst. Doch wenn du deinen Geist schickst, wird Leben geschaffen und die Erde kann sich wieder enthalten. Die Herrliche des Herrn möge ich ewig bestehen. Er freut sich an dem, was er geschaffen hat. Er braucht die Erde nur anzusehen. Schon fängt sie an zu beben. Und wenn die Berge berühren, dann stoßen sie Rauch aus. Singe ich will für den Herrn, solange ich bin. Für mein Gott will ich musieren mein Leben lang. Ich freue mich über den Herrn. Möge ich ihm mein Lied gefallen. Ich will den Herrn preisen von ganzem Herzen. Alleluja, lobet den Herrn.
Yo no recuerdo cómo se dice 1 Corinthians exactamente, pero este es capítulo 12, los versículos 3 a 13. Nadie puede llamar Señor a Jesús si no es por el Espíritu Santo. Ahora bien, hay diversidad de dones, pero el Espíritu es el mismo. Hay diversidad de ministerios, pero el Señor es el mismo. Hay diversidad de actividades, pero Dios, que hace todo en todos, es el mismo. Pero la manifestación del Espíritu le es dada a cada uno para provecho. A uno el Espíritu de la palabra de sabiduría, a otro el mismo Espíritu de la palabra de ciencia, a otro el mismo Espíritu le da fe, y a otro dones de sanidades, a otro más el don de hacer milagros, a otro el don de profecía, a otro el don de discernir los espíritus, a otro el don de diversos géneros de lenguas y a otro el don de interpretar lenguas, pero todo esto lo hace uno y el mismo Espíritu, que reparte a cada uno en particular según su voluntad. Porque así como el cuerpo es uno solo y tiene muchos miembros, pero todos ellos, siendo muchos, conforman a un solo cuerpo, así también Cristo es uno solo. Por un solo Espíritu todos fuimos bautizados en su solo cuerpo, tanto los judíos como no los judíos, lo mismo los esclavos que los libres, y a todos se nos dio a beber de un mismo Espíritu. La palabra de Dios.
Thanks be to God.
According to John, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the last day of the festival of booths, the great day, while Jesus was standing in the temple, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink." As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. If I get tongue-tied again this morning, it just fits the Spirit. I will blame the Holy Spirit. We have heard the ancient Hebrew and Greek scriptures this morning in Dutch, German, Spanish, and, of course, English. And even with the English text in front of our eyes, the mismatching input to our ears might be confusing. So, let's muddle things up a bit more, shall we? It'll be fine. Stop me if you've heard this one before, but it's not entirely clear what Jesus was saying at the temple on the eighth and final day of the Festival of Booths, or Tabernacles, depending on your translation. In verse 38, the Common English Bible quotes Jesus as saying, "As the scriptures said concerning me, rivers of living water will flow out from within him." Compare that to the New Revised Standard Version we just heard. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. So wait, which is it? Is this living water, the concept of which Jesus introduces three chapters prior in the fourth gospel, is it flowing from him or flowing out of us? Now, professional Bible scholars and translators have this terrible conundrum where they have to make a choice one way or the other. You and I face no such dilemma. Ubiquitous Lutheran response applies well here. Yes, both and. The ancient Greeks didn't care much for punctuation. In modern English, it's a whole thing. We've all been there, done it, and some of us even got the t-shirt. Commas save lives. Let's eat, Grandma. Not let's eat, Grandma. I can only speculate the ambiguity that's actually there is the point for John, or else it would have been written in a more precise fashion. Does living water flow from the heart of Jesus? For sure. And like the Samaritan woman before us, we might ask, and what is this living water? Scholars make note that the Festival of Booths began as a harvest celebration, grew lengthier throughout the years, and included a ritual where the priests, praying for rain, recalled the hardships of their ancestors wandering in the wilderness and poured out water down the temple steps. Now, if I did that here, I think one of the gyms who vacuums after the service would give me what the Hawaiian pidgin language calls stink eye. But for Jesus' fellow Jews, this priestly act harkened back to Moses drawing water from the rock, most obviously, but also to the prophecies of Ezekiel and Joel that rivers would one day flow out from the temple in Jerusalem. And even recalled the rivers that once flowed from the Garden of Eden, the Pishon, the Gihon, Tigris, and Euphrates. There's no single explicit verse of the Hebrew scriptures that Jesus is referencing. But rather, there's a pretty clear implication from the stories that I mentioned, along with others from the prophecies of Isaiah and Zechariah, the wisdom of the Proverbs, and the poetic portrayal of Lebanon in the Song of Songs. There's not an explicit there, but it's quite evidently there, just as is the Trinity. But we'll save that for next Sunday. Water is life. The woman at the well knew that very well. Give me that living water so I never have to schlep here again and draw a couple measly buckets, she said to Jesus. In an agrarian society on the edge of a desert, this fact essentially ruled all of life. We have the luxury of taking largely for granted water here and now. Judeans, Samaritans, Galileans, and their neighbors most certainly did not. Water flowing endlessly and abundantly would be the dreams of all come true. A return to Eden, heaven on earth. Well, it's a metaphor, but it's an extremely powerful one. Jesus' words get everyone's attention, but it's hard for anyone to get what his words mean. How could this living water flow from any place more sacred to people's cultural and spiritual life than the temple in the city of David, the most meaningful place established in the most meaningful time in Jewish history? It's hard to overstate the sheer audacity of Jesus' statement, and he would pay for it with his life. And so do the people who come to him thirsty and drink from this infinite well. This is the beginning of life eternal, life abundant. When I say the people of God pay with our lives, continuing through this present day and beyond, I don't mean martyrdom. That is the case for some, a small but substantial portion of believers. But to believe in Jesus' ways and words, his incarnation and its implications, it either changes our lives irreversibly, or you and I must stop and take a good, hard look at what it is and who it is in which we truly believe. The Spirit, sometimes it's represented as wind or breath, sometimes as fire or flame, a wise young woman, a swooping dove. It is also water, living and life-giving water. It is the waters of our baptism, but it's not a special, magical, or uniquely blessed water. It is the water in the Salish Sea. It is the water in the Olympic runoff. It's the water in the Jordan River. It's the water in your kitchen faucet and from your showerhead. The water with which you might water your garden, or I might brush my teeth. God is in every drop of water, clear or murky, but also beyond it. Elemental water is encompassed within the Spirit of God, but it is not all-encompassing. Don't misunderstand me, for we worship the Creator and not the creation, but creation is indelibly marked by the Creator. That's why Luther could say God is present in the cabbage soup of a peasant. But he added that God is hidden in that soup and revealed in the sacraments. So we remember our baptism today and we give thanks for it, as we did earlier. We consume the bread and wine in a few short minutes, his body and blood, and we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." Maybe it's easy to think of the Holy Spirit as proceeding from the heart of Jesus himself, but you or I might be a tad bit more skeptical about the idea of a spirit of living water flowing from our own hearts. I'd say that's a rather healthy skepticism, actually. But God took a gamble in Jesus' speaking this concept into the created world of corrupted human beings. Staked everything on it. In fact, and the roulette wheel is still spinning to this day. And the bet so often looks to be a foolhardy one. Just look around at the world that we live in. But consider also that God's wager is when it comes to the Holy Spirit, Jesus' living water, that your heart and mine, neither is a strong enough dam to hold it back. Yes, the day of Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Pastor Becca Medicki Conlin, she was just elected bishop of the Arkansas-Oklahoma Synod last weekend. And she included in her podcast that while many accept that Christmas is stupid without Easter, many forget that Easter is pointless without Pentecost. God relies on the Spirit, rivers of living water to flow from the believer's heart. That's how we are. That's how we must be, the church. We have heard this message this morning. Maybe it's confused. The Parthians, the Medes, the Egyptians, the Romans, the Arabs, the Judeans, and so on, ever were. You heard what I heard, right? But how? How indeed? Keep listening. Listen for a rush of wind, a crackling fire, a surging river. And amidst all the noise and confusion, believe that you will find it, that fleeting and yet forever moment. Clarity. Amen.